I believe this is Micah class number 12. Okay. Well, let's pray and see what the Lord has for us tonight. Father, we just thank you for the things you've been speaking into our hearts, the things that are on your heart, and the burden of your heart for your son, and how deep it is in you, Lord. We just want to find that. We just want to find that place in you that yearns and cries out for your son. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us get past our enticements with the things of God. Just beguile us away from Jesus, your son. Oh, Lord. If we could see but the beauty of him, if even a glimpse of what you, how he looks in your eyes, the beauty of his nature, just the beauty of his ways, how they move you, how they fulfill all things, but not in a doctrinal way, in ways we can't even fathom. Oh, Lord, we just need you so bad. We want our hearts to break and turn and return to you, Lord. Oh. Father, we just say we're not going to move to another teaching right now and look at a scripture and get caught up in that. We want your heart and we want your son. We want him in ways that you desired, Father, that you desire Jesus, that you work for, Holy Spirit, for his sake. So we just invite you to minister as it would please your heart, as it would meet your needs, as it would just cover you. Even in these scriptures, Lord, just draw that essence out as our hearts are open before you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are in chapter 5, right? Yeah, well, we're going to go to the end of chapter 4. And these are personally the scriptures that they're just my personal favorites. They're the ones that I have spent the most time in for many, 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 many years. And these are the ones. And you know, I just fear for my own, because of me, because of my tendencies to just get caught up in the scriptures and even in what they're declaring, but not in the Son, what they're really declaring, and him. So, you know, from the beginning of this book, Micah's name, I was just looking at that before class. His name is, who is like the Lord? Who is like the Lord? You know, that would want to put his son in us, earthen vessels. And would want to come out of us. And I'm not saying that's what Micah's name means, but just the thoughts in my heart and our hearts. What kind of God would want to live inside of a human? What kind of a God would give himself so utterly to be birthed out, to continue through us, to bring us into that, but to bring forth his son out of us? It just, there's a wonder, there's an awe, there's a who is like our God that can begin to, you know, just get us with him, just get us with them. Elohim, you know, the God that is three in one, I don't know. Just to get in their atmosphere, you know, just to get swallowed up of, wow, this isn't religion you've brought us into. This isn't doctrines you've put in us. You put Jesus, you put him inside of us, and he wants to come out of us in the way he's always been with the Father in eternity. the nature, the being, the oneness, that we'd be able to be the vessel that lets that continue. I don't know. I have nothing to share really tonight. I just need Jesus. I am certainly not a teacher. I don't know what I'm doing up here, honestly. I just need the Lord. But I know that there is something the Lord's dealing with my heart on, to leave everything behind and to just find him in a way that will bring forth Christ. That's what Micah's about. I will maybe share it in our last class, but there is a place Micah comes from. It's the first thing the Lord shared with me when he opened Micah. And it has to do with not what you would consider in this book, but a failure to bring forth Christ in the people of God, a failure for them to bring forth the Son, that resulted in incredible judgment and lack on a whole nation. Just their refusal to let Jesus be born in them, to not be born again in them, but to be released through sacrifice, to be the Son, to be their fullness in their life. That rejection of him, because when death works in us, life works in others. When his dying works in us so much that we travail to bring him forth in sacrifice and release him in his eternal spirit, all the people that, first the Father, but then all those that would have partaken of him, they don't get that. It's okay, all those enemies that he would have covered, they don't get covered like that. I mean, practical. Oh, all those family members that would have seen Jesus instead of your great anointing in the scriptures, they never see him. All those friends that could have gotten the lamb instead of your soul tie, they never did get him. Free will is involved. And, you know, God's heart is probably broken more times than we'll ever know. And I guess it's okay that mine breaks too when I look and see what I have done. You know, I think there's times where we can create a doctrine to keep us from looking at what we've really done to God and others. I just think we have all kinds of stuff, I'm talking about myself, that keeps me from looking at what I do by not letting Jesus be everything in me to the Father and others. So I can just stay sane or not break so much to let him actually have that in me. But you know, failure is not our enemy. Heartbreak isn't the end of it. It's part of getting involved with a person that's real. You know, it's part of free will. It's part of being a, not just, you know, teachers have a great knowledge. People have a great, Gnostics have a great safety zone. They never have to get involved with life. They're so safe. It's, you know, you always have a doctrine to cover you. You always have a deeper thing to just qualify you for greatness again, and a safety net for your mind to still feel holy. I don't know, this is all false. You don't... Just tell us what we'll do. We don't want to go face to face. That's way too personal. I don't want it. I can't bear that. That's a living thing. I don't need a living thing. I need my life with a safety net of my Christianity. And I mean, or my deeper life, or my great ministry, and my emotional crying out, I love Jesus, I need Jesus, but safety nets. No, it's okay to take those safety nets off. In my life, it's okay to just take a real good look, you know, at the Peter who betrayed him 3 times. It is me. I mean, I've done it. I'm telling you, I'm a mess, man. I'm a nightmare. There's no one in the Bible that I can't identify with the worst of them and just say, Lord, I'm probably worse. But I need to see it. I need to see it. Why? Not to get condemned or be weird. I need to see it so I can say, I want to treat you right, Jesus. I want to let you live in me. I want to honor your heart. I want to know you. Not anything about me. Who cares? Of course we're just a yuck. We had to be crucified for a good reason. I'm not looking at it to become self-centric. I'm looking at it to get with him. And it's just something to rattle my cage enough to shake off all my safety zones. You know, to shake off all this stuff that's protected the seed in me from ever growing and coming out. Just kept it like in one of those Egyptian tombs, locked away in the mummy case. You know, I'm honestly, you know, I think that's why God sent him to Babylon. He's like, man, I mean, the prophets cry out, you know, the Lord is your husband. Micah cries out, you know, what's your earth full of? Because you were made to be filled with the glory of God, the Son, this mystery that isn't fully revealed, but this is, you know, they're going, you know, if one of the prophets, I was thinking about that in the last class, I don't know, maybe it's the Holy Spirit. If one of those prophets would walk through the room, they'd be wailing, man. And we go, you are freak. You know, charismatic freak. Sometimes they are a charismatic freak. We don't know, it's, you know. But every now and again, one of those real dudes, so feeling the heart of the Lord that they look like an idiot. I mean, really, like an idiot, like a clown, like a fool. But they're feeling that heartbreak. You know, they're feeling the Lord's heart. And they're seeing in the situation. You know, this is what it is. Like when Paul was contending with the churches in Colossae and Corinthians and me. My God, this isn't just a ranting rave thing I'm on right now. They were called seers because they saw. You know, I can feel at times, man, the Lord is too hard on me. People are too hard on me. The things I'm suffering are too much. It's like, no, you have no clue about, I have no clue about what the Lord's heart is enduring, bearing with my selfish soul right now, thinking it's all about me. And if I saw that for 1 minute, I'd break and something in me would give new entrance to Jesus, to the real relationship. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. How many people know that the best times sometimes have been the most broken times? It's just, you know, I don't know. Because the people in chapter 4 and 5 are broken. They're in Babylon because they totally missed the time of their visitation, just like me in so many ways. And they haven't brought forth the Son. They have brought forth the priesthood and the religious services and the ministries, and all of that was raging in Jerusalem till the bitter end. They had all that temple stuff going on. They didn't have him. So, you know, this is the deal. When they're at this place, it's like, we're here to bring him forth. This is our time. This is our time to glorify the Father through the release of his Son, not through the teaching of his Son, not through, you know, I mean, something has to happen. And I'm just talking to myself as the Lord speaks to my heart for me. Something has to happen. When your mind continually, when my mind continually goes, it's not fair, it's not fair, it's not fair, it's not, something has to happen inside that says, what's wrong with me? I am eating so much from this tree and not look in the mirror and think you're beautiful spiritually, but see the ugliness. It's not fair. It's not fair. It's not. There's no way you're going to go into Babylon and in the face of those people and the injustice that they're going to bring you, birth Christ. There's no way. You can claim it and cry for it and petition God and pledge God. I can all day. It don't matter. You ain't going to do it because your mind will be so full of yourself and their wrongs and this knowledge of good and evil. Where are you going to travail and bring forth Christ in that? He will remain a dead doctrine in a society built around it, that God took down every wall. And I'll never forget when I was listening to one of Randy's classes, I could go there, but it's not important. But it said, God has to take down your Jerusalem. He has to break down those walls and all that stuff that was built up that wasn't really Christ needs to be, the siege needs to come by the Spirit of God. He needs to come like a Babylonian and take it down. And that crisis comes. You're just like, well, that's pretty heavy, Lord. But, you know, but I want it. I once again, I don't want to build a doctrine around why that doesn't need to happen to me so I can be safe. And then I escape the siege. I escape the siege, but I never go to Babylon. I'm one of those few. And if you read in the prophets, those few that did stay back, and they were the poor. Ezekiel, I believe it was, had to deal with those dudes because they got so high-minded they thought they were the elite at one point. It is in the prophets. Yeah, how crazy. These the poor that stayed back to till the land in Jerusalem, they got so high-minded that they thought they were special. God had to raise up a prophet to deal with them. I mean, we're a mess. I just speak of myself. I don't know anybody else here. I have no idea. I just think Adam is a mess. Until he's completely gone, he will just do that. You don't have to know any. It's just that nature. But those who went to Babylon, those who had the siege come to them, those who realized they weren't bringing forth the Son, even though they had everything God could give any human on earth to bring forth Jesus. They had the best teaching, priesthood. I mean, everything they had was given by Moses from face-to-face communion with God. They had the best. And they totally missed it. And so God blesses them. Hebrews says, he whom the Father loveth, he chastises. Every son he loves, he scourges. Every son he receives. It's love. He loved them. You know, he loved them enough to tear down all of that and to send them to Babylon and to say, let's do it right this time. Let's do it right. And Babylon's perfect. Why? Because Babylon's going to be, it's going to uncover all that stuff that religion hid. All the stuff that is my son. You know, in Jerusalem, you could sneak around and still exist. You could live off the things of God and be the precious, special you that you love more than anything, deep, deep inside, right? Your little idol called myself, hidden in that really deep sanctum behind that veil in my heart, right? Yeah, we love ourselves. I do, until the Lord deals in this way by his cross. And the worship. Read Ezekiel chapters, 8, 9, 10, when they went in, right before the glory left. Yeah, God can't, you know, so he's loving us. He's not, if he was judging us, we'd be cut off. We wouldn't be sent to Babylon to birth Christ. We'd be cut off. And that's the end. To go to Babylon says, I want you to bring forth my son. Let's do it. That's just amazing love. Who is like unto our God? He's amazing. He's just beautiful. I love you, Lord. I love you. So they get there, and man, it's time to birth that baby. It's the time. What do you mean it's the time? I mean, it's the time. We blew it for a long time. A whole long many generations in Jerusalem when we had everything. Here we are. And the Lord told us to be in pain and travail to bring forth. He's saying, is the king not in you? Has your counselor perished? Come on. The baby's in there. He is moved by the Spirit of God. He's moving men of God like Mike to speak these words that will become the Word of God, to encourage them. And they get there, and it's not going to be, I'm talking about my own life, my own story. It's never going to be the picture that I thought it would be. It's never going to be that. It's always going to be the thing that gets you the most. Who is it? What is it? Where is it? Because that's where the baby's going to come out. Or not. Mm-hmm. What is that thing? I can deal with what Sister Susie can't deal with, because in that area, I don't care if people smack their gum when they chew. But it drives, you know, this lady over here, she go practically insane. But I'm good, because I'm holy. You're not holy. You got something right over there that's going to drive you to drink if you don't get the Lord. You know, we all got that special thing that's just personal to us, but it's totally Adam and everybody. But God knows what that is. And he's going to bring just that special love gift to your doorstep on birthing day. You know, happy birthing day. Here's your friend. No, it's not that really romantic story of I've got a nursemaid. She's going to come and help you. Oh, she's going to come and help you. Uh-huh. She ain't going to be that picture in your old mind. She's going to be your worst nightmare. And she's going to get that baby out of you. Yeah. She's going to be that real special lady. You know, the one that God picked, not you. Yeah. I don't want to know what you're looking for the lady to help you. I'm going to find the lady that's going to get the baby out. She's going to be your worst nightmare and your best friend. Why is this room not full of people? They ran away because of somebody's preaching. No, because God sent the right love gift to their doorstep, and they ran for their life. And guess what? They survived. And God didn't get his son. They're still living, proliferating themselves. Because there are repercussions for our choices. And our hearts can break, and then we can go to Babylon and bring forth. Because things don't always work out okay. Because we have free will. Some people will go to hell because they have free will. We can choose to stick our feet in the mud and hold on to our excuses and not let that baby come forth. We just can. We have to look at that straight in the eye and say, okay, Kelly, what you going to do with that soul that's slamming the door shut on the son, not opening up those doors and letting him out? What are you going to do? Because you got a choice. And God's pretty quiet right about now. You ever notice how it gets real quiet right about then? Lord, now's when I need that really deep counseling session where the tears roll down my cheeks and I say yes because I'm so moved. No, I ain't going to counsel you nothing. What's in your heart? You ready to deny yourself? You ready to die to self? You ready to let him be your life? Well, right now is your time to choose. I think that's awesome. I don't want a God that's going to do that. I want the way that he is. He's looking for something more than petting flesh that he already crucified. I mean, that's how he speaks to me. So it gets real interesting in Babylon. It's real, you know, Babylon's an interesting little culture to dwell in, because you're like, lots of things going on here in Babylon. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what's going on there, but could be a birthing, could be some real long labor pains. You know, I don't know. But the Lord knows, because he's working behind the scenes, and he's wanting to use everything to those that love him to bring that baby out, to bring forth his son. And so it doesn't look like it would. That's what in Micah chapter 4, you start seeing that in verse 11. Micah chapter 4, verse 11, it goes, now, well, let's read 10 first. Well, let's read 9 first. Okay. Chapter 4, verse 9. So now why dost thou cry out loud? Is there no king in thee? Is thy counselor perished? For pangs have taken thee like a woman in travail. This is birth pangs. This is what you're feeling. It's birth pangs to get Jesus out of you. Be in pain. Labor to bring forth. Not to be better. Bring him, get him out. Oh, daughter of Zion, like a woman in travail. I love it. Just love it. For now, you're going to go forth out of the city. You're going to dwell in the field. You're going to go to Babylon, and there you're going to be delivered. You're going to bring forth Christ. There the Lord's going to redeem you from you, at the hand of your enemy. Verse 11. Okay, here, I'm in. This sounds like an incredible adventure. Sign me up. Let's go. Okay, chapter 11. Now, also, oops, many nations are gathered against thee that say, let her be defiled and let our eye look upon Zion. Okay, so immediately the picture turns dark and you've got nations who are attacking you, looking upon you to be defiled. This is just a picture. But in real time, in a real situation, in the real things that happen to these people, that happen to us, that happen to the saints of God, even now, all over the world, can't you imagine? I wouldn't want to be in their presence, not being with the Lord in this way. You know what I mean? Be ashamed. Being defiled, being brought to that place where if the Spirit of Christ doesn't come forth in his nature like he did on the cross, the way that he is in us, if we don't outwardly resist, we will inwardly be filled with the poison of our old nature to the point where our minds will just contaminate. Or we will take that shame and that defilement and we will bear it by the Spirit of the Lamb, by the Spirit of the Son. And we will bring forth of his Spirit in the midst of those persecutions and those situations that really many times here, not always, but I don't know that I have ever even been in a baby situation like I could have been in to bring forth the Lamb of God out of me. Look what Jesus went through on the cross. Look what many, many of the dear saints before us and even now go through. And it's not about suffering, but it's about bringing him forth in the midst of that. It is about his sufferings. It's about a lamb who's willing to be totally misunderstood and defiled, cut off, that others might live, that the Father might receive of this Spirit. Never opening his mouth, no defile and contaminating thoughts that permeate his being, just clean and poured out in utter love of selfless giving. It's another life. It's the Son. Those situations show forth his glory. They are the birthing chambers. What I have is nothing. But Jesus said, be faithful in the least, and I'll give you more. So maybe this little thing I'm going through right now is the Father saying, can you be faithful to birth my Son in this? And then I'll let you bring him forth in a greater, and each one is a greater death. It's a greater shame. It's a greater defilement. And listen, if it's not the real Son coming out of us, but some martyr spirit, oh my God, I don't even know what to say. How sad is that, to go through all of that and never bring forth a Son? Just glorify how much you can suffer and bear with evil people. I mean, that in itself should break our heart, get us back to him. Just get us right back. Just right back. Lord, I could say, Lord, I'm like Mary Magdalene. I'm the woman who had 7 demons. I did it so bad 7 times, the number of completion. I completely failed you. I've completely and utterly gone with the devil for the fullness of my existence. So I am the total contaminated mess that has nothing, nothing good in me. I'm awful. That's why I need you to be my life. I need it to be you in me. I need you. I am utterly convinced now that even when I try to bring you forth, I sneak in there and grab the glory and do it in my own religious self. I can't even bring forth Christ. I'm just a mess. Praise the Lord. She's the one who wouldn't leave him. She couldn't. She had nowhere to go. She had nothing. She's the only human when Jesus came down who had nowhere to go after he died. She just had him. That's okay. Be the worst failure. But just face it. Just face it. At least she faced it. You know, I don't think she's okay. I think she's fine with being known as the woman who was the harlot who had a legion of demons. Because she has Jesus now. She has him for worlds without end. She has the real Jesus. She fell utterly in love with him. She didn't get caught up with the Gnostics. She didn't get swept away with the ministries. And thank God she didn't get swept away with all her failures. She just went deeper into him. And eventually brought him forth. Praise the Lord, man. That's good. See, all that stuff works together for someone who really just wants to bring forth Christ. There's nothing that can work against it if we just like, I'm going to bring you forth. I'm going to bring you forth. I'm going to be yours. I'm going to be your home. I'm going to be that place where you can be you. And when we get in stuff, I'm going to let you live through me. I'm in. You know, just, it's a relationship. You know, I don't care. May the fact that I'm the worst just take me to such an end of myself that all glory and all hope and all fullness is going to have to be the Son in me. The Father's like, well, amen. Come on in, prodigal. Let's do this now. I'm all on that page too. It's all my Son. He's the hope of glory. Well, praise the Lord. I thought you were going to kick me out. I did. I kicked you out of the cross and I brought you back in my Son. He's the one. You know, it's not a doctrine. It's like something we have to really experience. We have to know it. You know, participate. And that's what Babylon is. It's that place. So these things happen, and they require of us the Son. They require of us what we can't give. They push us to our ends. They press us beyond our measure. We despair of life because we can't bear it. But then Jesus, then that Son that's inside of us kicks and rises and comes forth, and we just, oh my Lord, can you imagine the joy when that baby actually comes forth? I mean, I know there's joy when that baby comes out. I've never had one, but I'm telling you, I can't even imagine to have a baby with a joy that would flood a woman's and the father's. I can't. It's just incredible. But what joy when Jesus finally comes out. Woo! The baby has come. You know it's not you. You know. You go, oh my God. How many times have I tried to be Christ in that situation? Oh my God. God, Lord Jesus, the devil even knows it's the Lord. He's been watching for years. He's getting tired of it. He's ready for a change. He's like, I got other people to torment. Just go. Get with the Lord. I'm sick of you. You know? Please, God. You know, I mean, we all know people around you, they're like, you know, we got our ways, don't we? But we just, can I just say it? We have cheap perfume. It's Jesus. Yeah, I'm smelling a lot of alcohol, a little bit of, you know, number 10 red dye. That ain't Jesus. That's called a $1.99 special at Kmart. You know, that is not the apothecary of the Lord that it speaks of in Leviticus. And if you don't get it right, you know, needs to be Jesus. We all know. We kind of do, maybe. Not always. We think we. But, you know, you can kind of tell when someone's faking it. Not always. We shouldn't discern, you know, we can get off on all that. But you definitely do many times know when, my God, that was the Lord. That was that. And then you go, well, all glory to God. Because I know that person had no hope in heck of ever bringing forth in their own strength. You know, it's the truth. It's the truth. You know, praise the Lord. Why can't we just all be together in our wretchedness and travail in birth to bring forth Christ? Why would a bunch of wretched people just have a little fight to be not wretched among each other? Stupid is that. We're all a bunch of lepers, but I have 5 less spots than you. Of course, in 5 days, I'll probably have 10 more than you. But you know what? Today, I'm better. I'm going to look down on you from my leprous throne. You know what? Hello. Let's just all be wretched, needy, empty, broken earthen vessels that have one hope of glory, and it's Christ in us. Let's travail in birth together. And you know what? We can just say, you know what? The weaker we are, The lower we are, the worse we are, the more hope it won't be us but Christ. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you call the foolish the not, to confound the wise. It's 'cause so that if anyone would glory, they would glory in the Lord, because he was made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification. He's made us everything. He's got to be, because we're an idiot. We can't do it. We're wretched. We got nothing. But we got him. So just take the leper colony. Gather them all together at the feet of Jesus. Jesus looks down at his little leper colony at his feet. And, and they're all just low, and they just all look up. Now, except for Uzziah, what are you doing? Simon. Every now and again, one of them, Naaman, go wash. No, you do it, and you do it seven times. Okay. Every now and again, those lepers, they rise, and they think they're something because they're idiots. They have no clue. Anyway, but this little colony, just it's been a long time. They know, I don't have time for Naaman and all that. Yeah, we're a mess. It's over. We're done. They gather together around his feet. Gather yourself in troops. Well, that's kind of the picture I get in this picture. I don't get these. Gather thyself in troops, O Judah, small among the many tribes of Judah. Bethlehem Ephrathah. Gather thyself in troops. This is in chapter 5. I thought, Lord, I just cannot see at this point that those troops are like this valiant on their steeds. I'm like, leper colony. Gather thyself in a troop of weak, broken failures, cripples, lame, blind, deaf. Gather there and travail to bring him forth. Bring him forth, Bethlehem Ephrathah. Why are you calling me Bethlehem Ephrathah? Because you're the smallest among all the tribes in Judah. What are you talking about? I'm saying no one's going to think it was you. If anyone looks, they'll glory in the Lord, because it came out of a leper colony. It came out of the smallest. It came out of Bethlehem Ephrathah. It came out of a manger. It came out of an earthen vessel that had nothing. Empty that which is full. Be the least. Fall down there like Mary Magdalene and just grab hold of him. And travail that it would be him with all the other leper, lowly nothings that Jesus called, his best friend. I love you guys. I love you. Y'all are awesome. What about that person? I love the way, if I could only be like that. Oh. He's like, well, it's going to be a long time till they get to the place where they're ready to bring forth. And it ain't going to be pretty. It's going to be a long, ugly journey to the foot of the cross. Or you could come with your leper buddies. They know they got nothing. Because pretty soon, they're going to bring forth the sun. Gather thyself in troops, O Bethlehem Ephrathah. Smallest. Notice I'm not reading these scriptures because I have searched them for 20 years. Smallest among the tribes of Judah. Because he who comes out of you is going to be him whose comings and goings have been from everlasting to everlasting. You're going to bring forth the Son that goes unto the Father in sacrifice from before you and through you now forevermore. He will come out of you in his eternal spirit. Okay, oh my God, right? Hello.
Lord, make that more than a teaching. Lord.
That's huge. Hello. The same one that... would go into the Father and sacrifice. She's going to bring him forth. She's going to bring forth the Son of the Father's love, and he's going to come out of her back to the Father in that spirit that they have had forever. She's going to be part of, oh my God, these lepers, right? These idiots. They got nothing but him. But out of you he shall come, and he shall come forth unto me in the manner in which he's come forth from everlasting to everlasting, the eternal God, the eternal Son. Out of you, and the wise will marvel, and the strong will be confused, and the elder son will be jealous, and it will make sense to nobody except to me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because it's not about us. We have to just get out of the way and just you know, like that last class, not be beguiled with our superior wisdom, with our strengths and anointings, with the things that make us special and therefore separate from him, but become the least and do it with, if I could say pride, but I'm not ashamed to be a laughingstock because I am a mess and a leper and in and of myself have no good thing. I'm okay. I'm okay with people knowing the truth about me and not even knowing that that's not even half the truth. I'm okay. I just want to bring forth Christ. I just want it to finally be Jesus. I just want it to finally happen. And so they will smite your judge upon the cheek. That one who's coming out of you, he's going to be smitten and mocked and persecuted and shamed. But he's going to be manifesting the eternal glory and spirit of the Father. He's going to be coming forth in the greatest release in all humanity. He's going to fulfill the purpose of all creation. Hallelujah. Whew. And it rolls from there. Once he comes, he comes. And everything's different. But at that point, hopefully we never rise again. We stay low. We stay the empty so he can be the full. We stay the vessel so he can be the life. We stay the Bethlehem Ephrathah, the manger, the smallest among the tribes of Judah. We stay there. And we know it's a beautiful place to be because here we can just let him come forth. We can let him be the one. We can keep all our focus and attention on him and travail that every beautiful line we see in his face, every incredible motive of selflessness in his lamb heart could somehow drain into us because we're low enough to receive those oils and somehow penetrate past our hardness, begin to fill us with another spirit, another heart, another mind. And so much so that when the crisis hit, it just, the cup spills over the spirit of the lamb. And we go, oh my God, all glory. It was him. All glory. And the mercy of God on the basis of getting his son out of me. Oh my Lord. You just marvel at how much he loves his son. And then you just marvel that the son would choose to dwell in Bethlehem Ephrathah in us. But you fall in love with him for the way he is. You just fall in love with him. You're okay with him. And all of a sudden, life gets really simple. The striving stops. Labor pains continue. Birth pangs come. Crises and altars to get him out. Oh, they continue till the dying day. Glory to God. So the Father can get more. And I just say, Lord, how much of your son do you need out of me? Well, go ahead and do what you need to get him out of there. I just do it. I only got how many years on this planet? Let's just be crazy together. Just be crazy. Do crazy things to get your son out of me. Oh, I know they won't be fun, Lord. I know. Oh, I know it's going to be a bad, bad thing down here. But the heavens will rejoice because you're getting your son. He'll come forth from everlasting to everlasting out of these old things. Glory to God. That's what I want. That's my life mission. There you go. Take it. I'm saying it to him right now. I mean it. Do it. Just do it. This is the way I live now. This is the way I live now. This is the way I live now. You want to go back to Jerusalem? Well, I would love to, yes, but Jerusalem's here. Right here. See, right here. The real Jerusalem's already come. Well, when did it get be rebuilt? It got rebuilt and all that junk I just went through. Didn't you know? All that stuff was to rebuild Jerusalem right here. To let him dwell in me again. In his eternal spirit, let him come out of me. To be the lamb on the altar. To be the sweet savior out of the altars. To be the fullness of everything that those shadows meant. This is the real. I mean, I can go back, but I don't need to go back. I found him. Jeremiah 29, when the first group of exiles went into Babylon, he wrote him a letter, and he said, if you search for him with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, you will find him in the land of your captivity. You'll find them there. Ezekiel said, and you will be as little sanctuaries there. He said, it's going to happen. I mean, these are powerful things on the basis of God's heart. And you just go, Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, I feel the temperature rising in my heart. That first love's coming back. What does it mean? It means that I'm going to re-look at everything I'm going through and say, let's bring forth a son. Let's do this. Let's do it. Let's do it. How was your day today? You should really ask me, how was the Father's Day today? Because I was hoping to bring him some of the son. You know, I wanted to cook him up. Someone made me a little meal for this special diet I'm on. I was like, thank you, Jesus. That was a blessing. And I just thought to myself, well, how wonderful. I could cook up a feast of the son and bring it to my Father every day. Are you hungry? You know I am. I know you're an all-consuming fireman. You just gobble up those sacrifices in the Old Testament, didn't you? Oh, yeah, that was my son. I'm hungry. Lord, I want to fix you a plate of the lamb that was slain today. How do I do it? Well, that boss is driving you crazy. That situation making you look bad. You're not getting all the glory. Those people are using you. Sounds like a good place to cook up some lamb. Woo, yeah. Oh, but wait, I love myself too much to do that. Would you take maybe a lambless menu, but something that wouldn't require so much death in me? Doesn't really taste very good to me. I like my crucified son. Free will. How do you want to live your life? How do I want to live my life? You know, we're going to be dead fairly soon. Nobody really lives very long anymore. I mean, 900 years back in the day of Noah, you know, 800, 500, I don't know. They were a long time down here. We got nothing. We got what's just not even 100 years, sometimes 100, but usually less than 100. Good grief, that's not enough time to give the Father the son he needs. So I don't want to waste any more time. I mean, my goodness, it's like the clock is ticking. Not on me getting it. Clock is ticking on the Father getting some good food. It's time. Bring forth a son for him, not for me. He's an old wretched leper. I don't even deserve to, you know, eat the scraps that fall off of his beard when he's chewing. Let's do it for the Father. Let's use it all. All things work together for good. Amen. That's a bunch of crazy talk right there. That's just total crazy talk. But you know what? The crazy people are happy. They're happy out. They got this thing called joy, joy, joy. They say rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. You can't say that. You're in prison. Oh, yes, I can. So I don't live in these prison cells. I live in a whole other place with the Father because the Son is not a doctrine to me. Amen. He's real. He fills me. You know, no one will take that away from me. You know, oh, that poor saint went through so much torture. Yeah, I'm sure it was horrible. But can you even imagine the fellowship and his sufferings he experienced? Good grief. If we could have sat in one of those services that happened in that little sanctuary of that person's heart, we would have been, holy God, you are, I didn't even know it could be this good. Whoa. Yes, every bone in my body hurts like heck. And I could die tomorrow. But I ain't never experienced a God like you. It's worth it, not even worthy to be compared, the light affliction, to the glory that's being revealed in us. The Son. It's worth it. It's worth it. You know, Paul knew all this when he's talking to the Colossians and all these. He's in the prisons feeling. He's experiencing all of this. He knows, like he was killing Christians. He knows he's worse than a leper. So he's over himself. And if he's not, God sends a messenger of Satan to buffet him and get out. But, you know, and he's like, people, what? Do not let the enemy beguile you. Why would you do that? Come on. It can be really good. Don't miss out on the wedding feast. Don't miss out. You're going to miss all the good stuff. Whining and complaining and trying to be special and better than everybody and holding on to all that. You know, you're missing out. The wedding's going on right now. Come on in. I can't. I'm way too full of myself and issues. Okay. We're going to keep going. You know, there are people that just try to drag you down. You know what I'm saying? It's good to die for them. But don't let them drag you out of the wedding feast. Give yourself to the uttermost. Die 1,000 deaths by the Spirit of Christ. But buddy, you can stay down there in the earth with the devil and your soul. And I'm going to stay up here with the Lamb. So I am there for you in every way possible, including my own life. But I am not there for you in the fellowship of that dirty, defiled, yucky world that you live in. May the Lord deliver me and us from that. But more importantly, may he deliver us from our enemies by bringing forth his Son out of us in these places. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it had nothing to do with crises and hard things in this earth? No, it wouldn't be wonderful. It'd just be selfish people not having anything really valuable that we said, Lord, it wasn't easy to bring forth. You know, maybe it was a curse that Eve, you know, had to bring forth a child in pain. Yes. But maybe hidden within the fabric of that curse is a little thread of God's heart that says, I just want her to go through something to give me my Son, because it shouldn't just be handed on a platter. There should be a price. There should be a price. It's the Son. I mean, it's not just giving him a letter. It should have some tribulation around it. The book of Revelation is a beautiful book of birthing and all the earth pangs and travail and all that the Son is just, the whole thing is the revealing of the man-child. He just keeps coming out and coming out and coming out because there's so many altars. It's amazing. I mean, literally the heavens are rejoicing like crazy in that. So much like the temple of God just opens and the ark. I mean, just look at what's happening in the heavens in that book. Why are the heavens going so crazy in the book of Revelation? Because there's so much of the Son coming out of those people in those crises. So much is being released in all that. Beast overcoming saint stuff. It's beautiful. Isn't it beautiful? It's beautiful. Wouldn't you like the end of your life to be this kind of thing? What was your life about? Well, I had this great ministry and amazing experiences, and oh, on the mission field, I have stories. Tell you, oh my God, crazy things that happened. Or I just knew him in those places where I could release his Spirit in real ways. And I know him. And I know that when I die tomorrow, I'm going to be with him. And it won't be different than what it's already been, because we're together in this way. And it's just wonderful. Oh, I want to be that kind of person in the nursing home. Not, why can't you change these things quicker? I'm in pain here, you know, and you're like, what did you do? Well, I was a missionary and I taught in a Bible school. Well, something didn't catch. Something didn't quite, yeah. I want to have life. I want to have Jesus fill me up. Amen. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for the glorious thing that our story can be because you put your Son in us. Thank you that the lepers and the least can find you quicker, Lord. They get a straight shot in. Oh, Father, thank you. If I'm the Mary Magdalene, which I know I am, and worse even, but Lord, I just want to be yours, and I want your Son to be my glory and my fullness and our together as we birth him forth, Lord, and all we go through, Lord. We just want to cleanse the palate of our mind from all the things that distract from the what is the true thing, the reason we're here, the one we love, the only thing that matters, the one thing that we desire, or nothing else really matters. So we can just get over it and get into him and lose ourselves there and deal with our own soul and let the earth bring forth Christ instead of crisis all the time. Father, thank you that you said deny your soul. Just deny it. You don't even have to deal with it. Just deny it. And follow the Lamb. Follow me. Deny your soul. Pick up your cross and follow me. Lord, it's so simple. We just deny it. Turn around. Pick up that cross and follow the Lamb. We can do that, Lord. We can. We love you and we thank you for your great love, for the wonderful thing you've brought us into by creating us as humans that can contain another life, sending your Son so he could live in us, and giving us the opportunity for these final days of our existence to let him come out of us back to you and others. Let us be caught up in that. Let us not waste time, but redeem every second for your heart by your Son. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.